quickly.
We did have a lot of emails as well following the webinar asking for that recording if possible, because some people couldn't join it today. So that would be great if you could share it with others. Great stuff.
So to dive in, we had the three themes around, well, three or two, was fear, vulnerability, and then moving to action.
Yeah. And
we'd love to open it up to the group. Like, what's there for you guys after that webinar? What struck you? What's current for you?
If I may, to start.
Please, Catherine.
To me, the strongest thing I recall from your webinar was the point of putting efforts instead of achieving goals.
Mm.
And in terms of synchronicity, what was very funny and delicious is that I just read 2 years ago, just after your webinar, I finished reading the four Toltec agreements. I don't know the English translation, sorry for that. And it suddenly so rang a bell with what you said, and it's so like everything gets sensed again, and really I found it very, very powerful in any sense for us, but as a manager, as an HR, as it can apply to so many things. And really, to me, I came back with this, and thank you for that, because as simple as it may sound, after all, it was not that obvious. So it was worth explaining it, expressing it as clearly as you did.
Catherine, mm-hmm. I love it. Can you share with us what those four agreements were or are?
The four agreements of the Toltec are, first, I speak from recall. So the first one is make your word as clean as possible, which implies do not judge yourself, be kind to yourself, and try to speak the way as if each word had an impact, an action by itself. The second one is don't take anything personally. Mm-hmm. So take some distance from what is said, what is done, what is spoken, whether you think it's about you or not, and just consider that once one is, I don't know, mean, criticism or whatever, he speaks about himself first before then having intention to speak about anyone else and us as a listener. The third one, I'm afraid I can't remember the third one. I'm going to check out on my mind. The fourth one was you do all those three agreements with the best efforts as you can. You will fail. It's okay. But just focus on the efforts you put to meet those agreements as it is right for you at the very time, at the very moment, under the very circumstances that you are facing at that time. I'm sorry that I missed the third one. I can't remember it. Catherine, I'm going to check it.
Catherine, I remember the third one. Don't make a sentence.
Yes, great. Thank you very much, Robin.
So, and I mean, you just gave us such a good overview of those four things. And I mean, Patricia, it wasn't formally part of our webinar. However, it's a beautiful summary. And I'm just remembering what you said. Be impeccable with your word. Don't take it personally. Don't make assumptions. Always do your best.
Mm.
Now, and what impact is this having with you, Catherine, with regards coaching and this and setting up your business?
First, it impacts with my fears, my fear of vulnerability, of anything that I could take personally, whereas I just have to do my best with what I am and focus about that, it has a resonance on me with the fact that whatever comes with the client, it's his, it's not mine. So to have this distance and this respect with the distance.
Do you have any, if we can support you in any way, is there a question? Is there something you've got there at all?
Yeah, there is. I'm French, if my accent didn't betray me yet. and taking a CDI school was quite a challenge to me because it's not known in France. And as you may know, France is a bit by the book for a lot of things. And I aim at being a professional coach for companies, but I was very afraid and I'm still worried about the fact that some companies may refuse to register me as a coach before even knowing me about what I can do, my competence or whatever, just because I don't come out from one registered schools, French schools, etc. And in this respect, those agreements and what Patricia shared with us 2 days ago helped me a bit because I have to stand to my intuition when I met CTI at the fundamentals and told me this is exactly the kind of coach I want to be because it means something inside of me. And then putting aside and not taking personal what other people or what other companies, HR or CEO, whatever, we think about that.
But Catherine, I'm just going to articulate what I'm hearing. There's, you were drawn to CTI, like I say it, intuitive passion. Like you knew this fitted you, your approach. There was something that spoke to you about the coactive approach as a coach. And you have a concern that the other side of that, which is the company, the people who may employ you and give you business, there might be a disconnect, or they may not share that passion, or they might not. And the fear is that they may not resonate with it like you did, right?
Yeah.
So again, it's like, and Patricia, help me out here. We're going to try not to coach you guys too much, but rather point and give some opinions unattached, right? Unattached.
Great.
It's kind of from my own experience. That's about taking it personally, making assumptions, right, on those two agreements.
Yeah.
And it's like, don't allow that passion, that self, that core self of you that connected you to coactive. Don't let that be diminished by whether it's a reality or not. Because for some companies, it might be a reality. They might not like the coactive approach. Who knows? But don't let that diminish what brought you to this in the first place. You got to keep going and educate and inform and show them that passion, show them that value. That's kind of that relentless conviction to really to yourself first and foremost, to what you were talking about first, and going for that. And I mean, Patricia, that's what I heard through that webinar, was just how you were relentless.
Yeah. And if I may add to it, what stands out for me from your story, Catherine, is what, by your example, what you've demonstrated is one word to me. It's authenticity. It's staying true to yourself, mm-hmm. being authentic. And when I was talking about vulnerability, it was a big part of it. It was a big part of, you know, being vulnerable. It's being yourself. It's speaking. If you remember the Latin word cor, that means courage, means to tell your story with your full heart, to be able to do it, which means to really follow your gut feelings around what kind of coach you want to be, or how do you want to design this for yourself? That's really having that courage to stay true to that calling And I think that's what you are demonstrating here, Catherine. So I just wanted to recognize that in you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, both of you. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that, Catherine.
Thanks.
A quick check in with the group. Who else has authenticity or conviction as a theme by any chance? Not asking you to make it one, but anyone else in the group? And if not, what's your theme? What's your theme? What's the question?
What stood out for you during the webinar? What would be a theme that you would perhaps like to go a little bit deeper into and explore it a little bit more because you somehow felt resonant with it?
So I think for me, it was the action and not perfectionism.
Nice. That, okay.
That area around just getting on and doing and not really thinking about whether it's perfect. Because I probably am a perfectionist, which actually holds me back. So I don't do the things I need to do because at that point they don't feel like they're complete or finished. Mm. So I don't do it. Yeah, it was something around that I was like, right, I need to just, as you say, do, like get on and do stuff and keep going with it.
So question, thank you for sharing, Alyssa. Very quick question here. Have you actually thought of the actions that we asked you to think about actions, anything in your current coaching journey that you can actually get on with and do? Would you have any examples?
So for me, it was around when you mentioned kind of getting on and going to the networking events.
Okay.
I enjoy going to them. I suppose what I do, I don't do is stand up and actually say what I do. There's something in there that kind of prevents me. So I was like, right, well, I need to do that. So actually this morning I went to one and I stood up and told them what I do. And
Well done.
Bravo. Yeah. Fabulous. You're living it. Wonderful. Fantastic.
Welcome, Natalia. Hello. Good to see your face.
Hi, Natalia. Yeah.
Alicia, I'm just going to share. Well, really, I want to point at something which is so close to my heart. There's a quote that it really hit me a week or two ago, and it speaks to what I'm hearing from you. The difference between who we are and who we want to be are the things we do. That might not be so coactive, because coactive is like really focusing on the being as well as the thing, but it's in there because it focuses on the doing. The difference between who we are and who we want to be are the things we do. And I want to unpack that a little bit. What Catherine was saying and Alicia, we've all got this passion within us, this drive, and it speaks to who we are, the authenticity of who we are, our integrity. And of course, when something is that important to us, I mean, there's nothing more important. The thing that's most true for us. In my experience, that's where fear gets me. I'm not scared of much, but that's where my fear comes. Mm. When I face the thing that's most important to me. And I've spent years of my life kind of darting around the topic and not actually doing and finding myself being this, but not who I want to be. And when it comes back to what actions, I'm good at certain things, but doesn't mean I have to do them. And I end up doing way too much of the things I'm good at doing. And actually, I've got to start even more in my life now doing the things that I want to do that makes me who I am, who I want to be. And there's no easy way to say this, but that's, in my experience, that's where the fear gets tough. And that's why I love Patricia's prompting, because it's just got to keep going.
That's perfectly summarized how you put yourself out there. By doing those things. Fabulous example, Robin. I love it. Well, anyone else who would somehow relate to the action as opposed to being perfect, as opposed to perfection, anyone else is dealing with similar struggle? Yeah.
Okay. Yesterday I sent like an announcement on my Facebook page. And no professional, just what came up, what I had in my mind. And I had some answers, and a friend of mine, I wrote it, a long time friend in the States, wanted to be coached. But I know her, and I know that friends cannot be coaches. So, but it's the first who's interested. So I don't want to drive her away. And I don't know. And if I tell her no, how to tell her no? You know, I wouldn't like to break this like this movement that is beginning. That's my feeling.
So the question was: should you coach your good friend?
I mean, long time friend, but I live in Singapore, she's been living in the States. So we know each other for a long time, but we are not so close, like on a...
Yeah. Okay. And you know, and Patricia, this is where you and I, full permission, we get to disagree. That's okay. If we do, I'm making an assumption that we might disagree.
let's see.
Natalia, my advice is at this stage, coach, go for it, say yes. You will learn what you need. I've learned a lot coaching friends, and I'll leave that learning for you, but I would say definitely, because that learning's rich.
And okay. I couldn't agree more.
Okay.
Absolutely. Especially at this stage, Natalie, what you really want to do at this stage for all of you is to really practice. Mm-hmm. And not just that, but by practicing and doing things, you increase your self-belief that you can actually deliver it. Just by the numbers of hours that you will be doing and you will be recording, you will know, hey, I've done it. I've been there before. I can do it. Automatically, your subconsciousness will become stronger and stronger. So provide yourself with those opportunities when you can practice coaching conversations. If you don't want to call it professional coaching because it's your friend, call it coaching conversation. I invite you to have with me this powerful coaching conversation because I believe this can benefit you. And I believe this will empower me as a coach as well by doing it.
Okay, good. Thank you. Because then I was in fear. I said, maybe I'm not a good coach and she will see that. And maybe she won't like me anymore as a friend. You know, my fears were like,
saboteur.
And I said, oh my goodness, I just have to ask. And just practice and that's it.
I would even say be grateful for this opportunity.
Yeah.
The more opportunities like that, the better, the merrier for you. So be grateful for the opportunity that you can actually dive into it and practice it. And well done.
Yeah. And another feeling I have since these last few weeks after taking the fundamentals, it's that I'm overwhelmed. So do you have like a kind of technique to bring things down and be organized? I feel like I'm getting into all these webinars and coaching through internet, phone, you know, my activities, children, and I think it's also fear of not being organized or something. But do you have like a kind of technique or something to be able to learn things?
Just do it.
I don't know how to explain.
That's it.
You hear that, Natalia?
Okay.
Definitely just do it. But one of the things that I would recommend as well, and it was my own personal advice to myself when I started, because I was full of ideas. I was full of energy. I just couldn't stop. I was constantly on. I realized that I wasn't patient. I realized that I wanted to create this coaching career immediately. I was very, very up for it. And which is great because in a way it helped me to do what I'm doing now and I'm doing it full time, but I wasn't patient. So that put a lot of stress on myself. So just being patient and just taking time, let yourself blend in, do something about it, but do it in a way that is manageable and it doesn't affect your health or stress, and it does. And the worst case is when it demotivates you because it's too much and overwhelming and you go, actually not for now. So
and give yourself permission to be a learner. Give yourself permission to be new at this, and that includes failing, trying something new, figuring it out. Big advice for me is make coach your friend, for example, and however the coaching goes, whatever happens, it's one experience of many that you're going to have. Don't judge yourself or your coaching from that experience. It's one, like, especially at the beginning, embrace the learning. Like, and that requires a vision to the future that knows 5 years from now, all of you are going to be where will you be in 5 years as a coach with all the experience you're going to get? Somewhere different. Give yourself that permission to just get lots of experience, and don't limit your coaching. Like if you had a bad experience, or even if you had a good experience, like, oh, that's it. That's my coaching. No, because 2 years from now, 1 year from now, it's going to be so different.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you.
I just imagine in my head as you were talking, Robin, I had a vision of different sponges that you may be. You're like a sponge right now. You're taking in. And that's not just by practicing it, but also observing other coaches. And that's what I did as well. I was reaching out to professional coaches and I just wanted to be around them. I just wanted to speak to them, to learn from them, to, you know, have a chat with them and see what they are up to, what they are doing. And I think, you know, that's being a sponge. That's being a learner and giving yourself, as Robin said, giving yourself that permission to be one.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I'm going to blurt one last thing because it's the inspiration coming. Patricia, when you said about the sponge and meeting other coaches, whenever I did that, experienced coaches, what always struck me, and you guys might have experienced this in the training with the faculty and anyone else, experienced coaches, they come with this conviction. They don't have this question. They don't have this doubt because they've been doing it, right? They've got that experience and they've got this conviction. And that conviction, that like belief, makes it appear so much easier for them in the sell and the pitch and the talking and the enrolling clients. So like, and this is my style, and you know, a little bit fake it till you make it. How do you get yourself into that, talk yourself into that conviction and that belief without all the experience behind it, to just give you a little bit more of a nudge to go for it?
Great question. I love it. Any ideas?
Thank you.
Bring the captain.
Absolutely. Bring the captain. Yeah.
Big time.
Can I maybe just by sharing my story on this, Robin, you will have ideas as well on how to do it. And this is me starting my coaching journey with the new company that I'm working for, and they employed me as an expert in career coaching and confidence coaching, which is what I'm researching on and which is what I'm specializing in. But when I started, they really wanted me to present myself as this expert, which I knew I wasn't then. I wasn't an expert then at all, but what I did, I believed in that. They believed in me. I believed in that. And by doing those coaching sessions that were specifically focused on career, I've mastered some incredible tools and techniques by doing those coaching sessions, right? Just by experiencing different environments with my clients, that I currently truly think that I am an expert, right? But I wasn't then. So it was this kind of fake it until you make it, until you become it, because it happened in time and I'm still growing and developing and I'm still learning so much. It's incredible how much you can learn, but don't expect from yourself to know it right at the start. Give yourself permission to start first and foremost, and push yourself if need be to dive in. But remember, you will learn in time. You will learn in by doing it, going through the journey. So that's my advice, I guess, to you right now.
Well, thank you so much. And it was very, very meaningful because I put a picture of my daughter from the back diving into the sea and a message ready. So in somehow, I think the webinar just give me this little push, you know, to just fine, and that's it. So it's funny the image because
yes. It came back. Precisely. Any other questions? Any other themes?
I just changed my audio device. Patricia, is this okay? Clearer? It's okay?
Yes, it's very clear. Yes, thank you for checking in.
Yeah, I suppose for me, the thing that came up was the fear. Like to begin with, I thought it was action. That I wasn't acting. And then I realized it was the fear that was stopping me from acting. So it's kind of, you have these mind games all the time thinking, I can do it. And then it's probably just saboteur, isn't it? Just saying, no, you can't. And so it's the fear, I think, is always what's holding me back.
I'm gonna speak to that, Patricia, if you can.
Yes.
This is so, again, it comes to... And it's this, it's like, yes, newly, and I make some assumptions. I don't know when you all specifically finished the training or if you're during it, but let's assume you've just finished the training.
I have.
Sorry about that. No, we can't hear you.
Okay. So you know you've just finished the training and then you think, oh, I'm new. I don't have a lot of experience. And then notice how you frame that. Oh, I'm a 6-month trained coach. Oh, I'm a baby. I'm just getting started. If there's any of that. But guys, there's so much more to coaching. The training you've had, the experience you've had is amazing. The corrective coach training is advanced. But it's you as a person as well. Don't discount the human being, the presence you have. Because so much of coaching, yes, there's a skill set and there's knowing how to ask the right question and knowing all the tools that Coactive gives you. But don't let that fear or the saboteur diminish the human being in you. Because so much of what I've learned as an experienced coach is so much of my impact on my clients isn't as much the skills I've got and just being able to be there present, holding space, knowing I've got some skills in my hand when I want to do it. So the first thing, number one, is remember you as a human being, and that's the true self. That's the captain work. That's the strength and the presence, and observe what that does for your client, what that does for them. Because remember, it's about them. They're going to do the talking. You've just got to be and hold that space. And Sarah, one thing about the fear, I want to point to that. I just want you to know that every time you recognize a fear, and we do all the time, not taking any action, like anything you're scared of doing, go, oh, it's a fear. That fear is stopping me doing it. The more you don't do it, the more you're feeding that fear.
Yeah.
And we know we can't live our lives driven by fear. If there's one thing we must not do is live our lives driven by fear. So the minute you identify that fear, like I get to a point where I've got to do it now just because I can't feed that. I just can't feed that, because then if you feed a fear, it just gets bigger.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Thank you. And I don't know if you watched the video that I suggested by Will Smith, who was talking about fear and how to face that fear. And he said, if there's one thing in your life, just one theme in your life that you can conquer or you can face every day, that should be fear.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
That's what he said. One thing, if you can choose just one thing. And I think that's what it is. I think also when I was talking about fear, I did mention that just by identifying what that fear is, it's already you're halfway there, because you know what you need to fight. You know what you need to do. It gives you clarity. And now, as I said, also, it's your choice now. You're either doing it and going against it, or you choose not to. And by choosing not to, it doesn't mean that it will completely stop you from doing what you're doing, but it will definitely slow you down.
Yeah.
Eventually, if you continue doing it, it may stop you as well. But what is doing it now? If you really want to do it, if you really want to do it now, like what's the question here, right? You know what to do. So it's now, just remember, it's your choice. No one else's choice, because now you're aware what is stopping you. And you know what you can do about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I've got a lot of work to do.
Great.
If I may, something to add, because I don't know if she recognized me, but
I do. Fundamentals.
Yes, I had the chance to meet Sarah during the fundamentals, and I very clearly recall the first aquarium coaching we had to do in the group, and Sarah did it, and she did it with so power, so naturally, so authentically. And if you remember, the CTI coach teacher that was there told you, Sarah, you're already a coach. You're gonna be a great coach. And I had the chance to experiment your coaching that I remember very well. And you did so great with really difficult topic. And I just want to acknowledge you with that. You are a coach, and you are a great coach.
Wow. Thank you, Catherine.
Beautiful.
Thank you, Catherine.
That's what I love about CTI culture. This is beautiful what we do. The recognition part, it's so empowering. It is. And sometimes you just need those reminders, right?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Bye, Jennifer. Just saying goodbye to Jennifer.
Oh, Jennifer is going. Bye. Bye, Jennifer. No problem. Just to come back to Sarah, if you were to specifically, maybe if you want to share, what are those fears that you're kind of facing?
Oh, failure.
Fear of failure. Okay. Failing in what?
Probably just being rubbish at it and not taking off as a business. And, you know, and I've told so many people that I've trained, I'm going to be a coach and things. And now I feel I've put that pressure on myself. I've got to come up with the goods. And I suppose it's the fear of not coming up with the goods.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And what if failure is not trying? Is failure is not acting on that fear, right? Or through that fear. That was what Patricia was saying about efforts.
Yeah.
Effort versus results.
Yeah.
And Sarah, just remember, it's in your head. It's no one else assessing you. It's you assessing yourself. So if you, again, that mindset that helped me so much, my success, which is the opposite to failure, will be trying.
Yeah.
And you cannot fail in that. There's that one thing that you cannot fail in trying, because it's in your control. So if you allow yourself to look at definition of success through the lens of trying and efforts, that's when you cannot be disappointed, right? Yeah. And it just takes that that's mindset that you need to set up for yourself.
Yeah, and I already felt like inspired after you spoke the other day. It really helps because you kind of come out of the CTI bubble and like you're kind of, oh, I'm on my own now. So it really helps, like even these webinars and things, it's kind of keeps feeding you and inspiring you and pushing you onward. So already after the other day, I kind of felt that, or take it by the balls and do something.
I like that.
The imagery. Okay, stop another metaphor. Come on.
Sorry. Yeah.
I love it. It's the energy that we need.
Yeah.
It's that putting yourself out there energy.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing, Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
What's in the space?
Any other questions that you maybe came up with during the webinar that you wanted to ask me, maybe specifically about my experience or maybe the examples that I shared with you, something that you wanted to find out more about or the themes?
I suppose for me, it's about like the professional coaches that you reached out to. Did you go down a particular route because they focus on a particular subject, or did you just reach out to anyone and everyone? And
love it. That's a great question. The way I did it is I was following up many different young coaches, mainly because I wanted to relate myself to them. So the way I chose them is by their style of being present online or on webinars or on presentations or videos that they were giving. And I just liked their style. And to me, it was something like, hey, I would be something like that in a few years. Like I want to find out how they've done it or what they are doing about it. Right. So it was more to do with what kind of style of coaching I would like to incorporate in my life and maybe develop, and how can I learn it from those guys who are already representing that in their careers of coaches. So it was often about, you know, the sort of the presence online, the articles there, the topics they choose to write about, the way they write, the way they present themselves online, their presence in general and their energy. And often I found it, you know, real when I met them. And when we had that chat, a lot of the time it was online, and that was equally good. And we had great energy. And I have to tell you that you learn so much. Again, they give you incredible insight. And people like I currently receive those calls and client sort of requests of, you know, can I meet you? I want to find out more about what you're doing. And I love this as well. So I know people are very responsive to this, and they love to share, and it's energizing. And I think I did mention one guy from Shirlo's coaching and training company, which is really incredible and kind of globally known company in coaching. He became my mentor, and he said, I really like your energy. When I speak to you, I'm getting energized in my own field of coaching. And he's speciality is leadership. And so he was mentoring me. He was much more advanced and senior than me, but we kind of benefited each other in a way. And it was a beautiful connection that we've built. And it was all online that we were doing. We were doing sessions online. And I didn't have an agenda for that. It just came, it just appeared just by reaching out, just by asking, by being out there. Hope that answers the question.
And what's just come to me is I knew that answer. I knew that in myself. I knew that for myself. There's something there around that I'm not actually actioning it. So
actioning it, yeah.
It was that.
I will now.
From the webinar, and it was the answer I gave Natalia, and it was also from the webinar, was just do it. How we all know the answers. Like if we go in, we got the answer. It's just procrastination. we all do it, right?
Absolutely. Watch that TED talk again that I sent to you around action theme on procrastination. It's amazing. It's brilliant. And what I wanted to say also, imagine this bridge, again, using metaphor, imagine that bridge from the being into the doing part. What's that bridge about for you to really cross it and go into the, I think we lost Robin or someone else. I know we've got Robin. Yeah.
Sorry, Martha.
So what's that bridge to really start acting? Maybe you just need to create an action plan and tell yourself, hey, this is what I'm doing on Monday. And there's no way I'm going to, give up on that. This is what I'm going on Tuesday. This is the event I'm going to attend once a month. So create a plan. Maybe it's a structure. Maybe it's a schedule that you need to design for yourself. Whatever that bridge is to take you in the space of doing, do it. Oh, Robin, you are talking. I can see, but we are not hearing you.
Sorry, I'm bouncing on my mute. One thing I want to add to that, the action plan is so important. And this is a bit of a duality because of the, at the beginning, when you're a new coach, don't be too, your vision might be evolving. So you don't know what your vision is perfectly just yet. But if you, while you're pushing through the fear and you're focusing on efforts and you don't know the results that are going to come, I've learned that if you we've learned this in coaching, articulate a vision. Have a vision for your being and how you want to be as a coach and who you want to be. Because what happens then, that's an intentionality that seems to pull. And when you go and focus on the efforts, I find the results that emerge, I trust, and this is an act of trust, are pulling me towards what I want, what I'm asking for. So you've got to be clear on what you're asking for. And it comes back to that question, which is often the hardest to answer. What do I want? What do I want? Just articulate that very clearly for yourself all the time. What do I want? And watch how those results, like what Patricia was saying, that you can never plan for, just to start emerging.
Absolutely. I love this. Thank you for sharing, Robin, again. Can I just also very quickly add to it? That's very true to me. And also adding on to this, at the same time, be flexible with the fact that what you want may change. And maybe even the vision will develop a little bit and there will be other aspects of it. So be flexible, because we often are very kind of stuck to certain ways of thinking or visualizing things about our future. It's good to have it, but sometimes it's like, hey, relax. If that's not going to be the plan, something else will come out of it. And it's okay, right? So be that flexible with this. I think that will help, that kind of approach.
It's absolutely. How's this landing for everyone? What's coming up for you when you hear this?
You're both so true, and thank you for sharing that. And to me, it rings two bells. First one is what is called the power of intention, which is totally summarizing what you just said, Robin, and to go back on what you said, Patricia, is that to me sometimes it's not that I have to move my vision, but it's to consider that as long as I stand to my own faith, whatever comes, I believe will lead me where I expressed my will to go. And in that, to help me when I'm all right with me, I did some meditation, blah, blah, blah. I just connect with the magic and let me believe that's the path. You expressed your will. You do your most, your efforts to go there. Just trust what comes that lead you to the right path. And go, even if it doesn't match immediately the goal you were expected. Sometimes I'm telling myself, don't expect anything. Just go to what comes.
And when you go, when you arrive at what comes, I love what you're saying, Catherine, when you arrive at what comes and it's even a surprise, whatever, we know, guys, we compute things via our heads and via our hearts and our bodies. When you hit that event, take stock. And where do I go next? What's next? And then you go to the next one. And then it's like, ooh, where next?
So yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Absolutely. And it definitely puts pressure off you, right? Because it did. Yeah. I had a session, I need to share this with you. It was so interesting. I had a client who was really, who had a very fixed kind of idea of this is what I want. And that's what I want. That's it. I know that this is what I want. But I said, okay, that's fine. This is the goal. Fine. This is your vision. But the journey to get there, how fixed are you on the journey? Because you see it this way, right? I was like, what if you see it that way? So it's about, something along that. So it's about, it's curvy and it's okay to go up and then realize, ooh, okay, that wasn't the right turn. I'll go back to my kind of safe zone and maybe try something else. Oh, okay, I'll go back here. Give yourself permission to have that, flow or curvy path to get there. And as you said, Catherine, I loved it. Have that faith that no matter which junction you take or corner you go to, it will take you there. But it's through this kind of, experience, you will learn and you will probably shape that vision better and it will become stronger in the end.
Adventure. Yeah. Like it's an adventure, is what I'm hearing.
Adventure, yeah. Adventure. Openness, being open, being flexible. But this brings me back to the topic of not trying to be perfect, because you don't want to, that vision of yours, don't expect this to be here or here. It's right here. So here is when you can visualize it in a perfect, ideal way that you want it to be. But allow this journey to be imperfect, because it's a journey of trying. Right?
Yeah.
I'd like to point us just to a topic that's just, again, it's come up from the Q&A that happened at the webinar. And I don't know if it was any one of you who asked it. I want to just, for the last few moments that we have, for the last few minutes we have on the call together, this is a very practical thing. We're talking about adventure. We're talking about following the integrity and our vision and something new. Now, I don't know if how much this applies to everyone on the call. Depending on your circumstance with family, financial commitments, are you changing career entirely? One of the questions was, how do you deal with the concern of making an income from coaching? Now, that can be a greater pressure for people who are doing a 180 from an income of a career or something here and are trying to go right and make it out of coaching. So maybe, Patricia, you and I could just bounce. And mm-hmm. there's different perspectives depending on where you are, the finances. And the message I just want to say is sometimes what we're talking about, maybe you can run two paths at the same time. And this is a perspective. There's the inner calling that is something that you're becoming and you're not quite clear what that is, but your vision's evolving and you're giving yourself permission to take action following that. And that's good. But for safety, for responsibility, family, children, education, whatever that is, maybe there's something from your past or there's something that you're good at that you can earn an income from coaching related. For example, I could go and be a technology coach or whatever that is, because I know it, I have some expertise in that and I can coach and mentor and I can earn money, but I consciously choose, I'll only do that 30-40% of my time. And because that's going to bring me in an income to keep my feet on the ground while I dedicate 60% of my time to my new becoming. So I just wanted to land that practical point because that was one of the questions. And there's obviously many ways to go about it, but that's one option. You can run two paths simultaneously.
Absolutely. And if I can add on to this, Robin, to me, how I did it for myself was thinking about two spectrums. One was about my short-term needs, so things that I had to, like those responsibilities that you're talking about, Robin. What is it that I need to afford? What is it that I need to practically do? These are my short-term needs to survive in London, to do whatever, and my long-term goals. So it's this kind of balance between the two, not losing my vision on my long-term goals, which is to become a coach, a prosperous coach and successful coach, but at the same time, not ignoring my short-term needs that are also there. So it's about here, it's you prioritizing and balancing out these two. So in my case, I've tried different things. And again, it's about trying. So I had a full-time job at the beginning. I was made redundant after my CTI course. That was one thing. Then I was made employed again full-time, but it was a temping job to make myself survive anyway in London. And then I was like, I think this is taking too much of my energy. I could benefit much more if I had at least one day off during the week, so I could do some coaching on Fridays, for example. So I was playing with it. So then I became, I was working only for 4 days, and I was still doing a lot of coaching during those 4 days in between, like during lunch times, before work, like at 8 o'clock in the morning, after I started, you know, my work at 9, then after work, I was commuting and meeting clients face to face. It was fine for like 2-3 months. Then I was kind of exhausted still, even though I had one day off. So then I was like, okay, what else can I do to either do maybe 2 days now a week of work and then doing the rest of coaching, or completely moving into coaching? So it was, as you can tell, I was playing. My next stage was actually to become a full-time coach. So after this 4 days of full-time employment, I moved directly into coaching. But I was working my way into it, right? Throughout trying and seeing what works for me. Someone once asked me, can you do it as you are working for someone else? To me, as I said, it worked for a while, but then I realized I really needed that space to dive into coaching, to explore it for myself, to write down things that I'm passionate about and I want to do with my clients. I needed more space. And that's when I had to sort of prioritize as well. Is it the lifestyle that I want to have at the beginning, or is it my investment of my time into my growth and development as a coach? What's more important for me at this stage?
Patricia, I want to acknowledge that and what you've just said, because you were giving yourself permission and my words, you took a stand that you are your dream lifestyle, your dream vocation, whatever it is, you are worthy and you can have it. Mm. And those are my words, because I recognized in that in you that you said, yes, it's possible and I'm going to go for it. I need that space. I need spaciousness so I can read and be inspired and write things down. And sounds idyllic. And why not?
Mm, precisely. Know?
Well done.
Yeah. And it's a personal choice. And someone, you know, that's why I said that someone asked me that, because it doesn't mean that everyone should do it. But because I've tried not having it, and I realized it's actually affecting my performance as a coach, and I was getting actually upset that I'm not giving my 100% into it. And when I'm with my clients, I'm often tired and I don't like that. And therefore I decided to, you know, to act on it. So to me, it was my personal story, but it doesn't mean that it will be your story. The message for you, I think, in this is that try. You won't know until you try and figure it out for yourself. I hope that's helpful.
Absolutely.
It's okay. We have you back.
My camera's going. Guys, I'm just watching the clock and we've got a couple minutes left. I just wanted to bring this to kind of a healthy close and say, how was it for you? How are you guys feeling? Thanks, Natalia. I see your message in the chat. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Alicia, Sarah, this is an abbreviated closing circle.
No, that was great for me. That's really